Mikey Tenei Hōtaka, welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Coming up on the program, a new report by the AA says congestion and gridlock is getting worse in Auckland, and the focus on public transport, walking and cycling is not cutting it. So what is the solution? Rental costs in the news. National median rent went up 7% on 2021 to a record $580 a week. Some people are now calling for a government rental subsidy, saying that is just too much for people. People now trust supermarkets less than banks. That is a first. And a review of electoral law could recommend, among other things, lowering the threshold that a party needs to get into Parliament. Right now, it's 5%. Should it go to 4%? Excuse me, please. John of Dunedin says, keep the 5% threshold, otherwise we will have every nutty party under the sun in Parliament clogging up the debate. So what do you make of that? Text me 2101. Should we lower the threshold? And a person living next to a pistol club is annoyed that he has to wear headphones outside, saying that he has a right to some silence. Our panellists will give their verdict. And Power Ballad Friday, do you know this? I do. With me, Leonie Freeman, Chief Executive of the New Zealand Property Council. Leonie, nice to have you on the program.
Kia ora, Wallace, and great to be here again.
Yeah. Also, Michael Moynihan, ex-chair of Creative NZ and ex-CEO of HarperCollins Australia and New Zealand. Michael, welcome back.
Kia ora, Wallace, nice to talk to you.
Very good. Haven't heard both of you for a while, so nice to have you on the panel this afternoon. And let's dip into the Friday mailbag. The announcement that the government is ploughing millions in plant-based food products. I asked Federated Farmer Chief Executive, the head, Andrew Hoggard, a couple of days ago, what he likes in his sausage. Pork and fennel was the answer, not veggie sausages. Exactly. Someone says here, well, I'm a farmer. Andrew needs to wake up to alternative proteins. It's a huge opportunity. Eating less meat is important for the environment, for health, and for reducing carbon. The government has invested millions in dairy. Bruce says, Wallace, I'm a vegetarian. Veggie sausages are revolting. I have tried a number of them. Why would you want to spoil the perfectly good flavour of fresh veggies, is Bruce's view. Another one here. Stop making it about what this sausage tastes like against another sausage. Start talking about why an animal had to die for your 2-minute snack. So I asked Andrew, you know, would he come back on the show and after he had a veggie sausage, you know, put down his pork and fennel, just try a veggie sausage and give us the verdict. So he's going to do that. Round the panel on this, Leonie, millions spent into plant-based. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I don't eat meat and chicken, so I am one person that does like the vegetarian sausages. So I think it's worthwhile looking at investing into other things.
You don't eat meat at all?
No. I haven't for quite some time, just more for personal reasons, and I feel better for not eating meat. So,
you do? Okay. Michael?
I do eat meat. However, I do think I don't eat a lot of red meat, and I do think that I could be a vegetarian if I could focus on it and think that and learn to cook in the way that, say, the sort of vegetarian food that Indians eat, that they eat in India, which is just fantastically flavoursome and wonderful. I do worry about it from an environmental point of view. I worry about what meat production is doing from an environmental point of view, but I haven't as yet taken any kind of personal stand.
Okay. Now, also in the Friday mailbag, Jib, it is becoming a crisis. We talked about that. We had one builder on who said, look, he can't get any Jib until, get this, December. So a bit of response on this. There is only one manufacturer of plasterboard, so call it Jib, because that's what it is. You can't decorate elephant board or ply. People want a painted plaster wall often, so it has to be plasterboard, that is, jibboard. Okay, if you want a timber finish to your interior, use other products. Another one says, replace jib with plywood. We grow it here. We make it here. Quite a bit of response on that. Actually said, use plywood, not jib. And David says, there are brands approved alternative drywall products, B-R-A-N-Z, to jib, for example, Boral, that are available at a few weeks lead time. And do we need a discussion about brands who won't accept approvals granted by other reputable authorities, in David's view? Leonie, you're the head of the property council. You'll have views on this.
Yeah, well, it just highlights again there's some massive supply chain issues for a number of products, and obviously the one that's at the media the most is the jib product, but there's also quite a lot of others. And so I know MB and others are working on trying to find solutions, but the challenge is this is what we're faced with at the moment across the whole sector.
Why can't you use ply, that nice finish? It's got that lovely ply finish.
Yeah, well, I think it's a personal choice. I'm not sure about the rules and regulations about whether it's you're able to use ply, so I couldn't really comment on the detail of it.
Yeah, more here. Jib or plasterboard is for holding up paint and wallpaper, and that's all it should be used for. Plasterboard as a bracing element is the biggest nonsense ever pulled up by the supply industry. I work in the consent space and shake my head every day as to how we got here. Michael tried a renovation recently.
But luckily ahead of this, so it wasn't held up. But I did have some stuff done, just small scale stuff done recently, and needed jib for it. And basically, the builder said it's not possible. And then he rang me all excited on my particular occasion, and he had found some, bought it, and said, you've got to get it done now because I bought the materials. It was so scarce. So that's, I said, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. I do love the look of ply, but you do.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Isn't it trendy? Isn't it a trendy look?
There's some very lovely interior looks attached to ply, but it is different. It's not for the same purposes as plasterboard is. And so I guess you've got to want that, which plywood provides. And it's probably not quite as insulate. I think plasterboard's got some insulation properties too, doesn't it? Fire retardants and things like that. You know, like, is that true or am I making that up?
Maybe we might fact check that. Plasterboard.
Anything I say, Wallace, I would encourage you to fact check. I doubt that I've got much credibility.
Oh, no, come on, Michael. Plasterboard is not flammable. Plywood or MDF is. Might be that this is the problem. Jackie says there is a wall board called Save Board made from waste plastics. Ooh, we might come back. That's very interesting. Thank you, Jackie. And the fact that COVID is not over, despite people behaving as if it is. This is what Moata Tamaita brought up on the panel yesterday. And we had quite a bit of response actually supporting it because, you know, people are still catching COVID. And Moata's view was that that's often forgotten in the fray of getting back, and nothing wrong with getting back to life, but, you know, people are still getting quite sick. Someone says, well, Joe says, thank you, Moata. There are a lot of us out there who, for various reasons, need to avoid COVID, even if vaccinated. It feels quite lonely now. We are not all in the same boat, and many do now want to think about COVID and would like to stop protecting the vulnerable by just the simple action of wearing a mask. Round the panellists, Leonie, still got your mask with you? Still wearing it?
Yes, just where I need to. You know, I've been in Ubers today, so do that. I wear it when I go to a retail shop. They're the sort of places that I'm wearing it.
Michael?
Yeah, me too. I've got them in all my pockets and bits of the car, and I definitely. It's still a default position. Whenever I'm out in public, I will put it on at some point, particularly if I'm going into air. I think it's a bit about the courtesy of or the respect I'm giving whoever's working behind the counter or who I might be coming in contact with. And it's a very small price to pay, I think, because the moment I go into the open. I take it off, and that's comfortable enough.
Absolutely. Some wonderful fact checking, by the way, from our whatever producer, Tim Jib. Fire-rated systems are a range of fire-rated constructions based on the use of jib plasterboard. So the range consists of timber and steel-framed wall, etc. Thank you. Finally, the news that a person wanted to return their $12 five-pack of undies and got annoyed when the warehouse did not accept. I said that they should accept the returns because, you know, it's a five-pack. It costs $12. You tried on the one underwear just once. So what? The warehouse should return it. Someone says here, what pretentious gits your panellists are. I bought two bras from the warehouse, elastic, one size fits all, both 14 to 16. One was too big, the other too small. I took them back and yes, they would not take them, annoyed. Another one says, he should have folded the tested underpants and put it back in the bag. What the next buyer doesn't know doesn't hurt him.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, no, so I wouldn't endorse that. I wouldn't endorse that at all. But around the panel on this, should the warehouse accept those returns, Leonie?
Well, it just makes me sort of my stomach churn when if I knew that I could buy something like as personal and intimate as underwear and somebody else might have tried it on and then put it back. So I can understand why they said no.
That's a no, Michael.
Yeah, I don't. I thought they had a, you can bring everything back. Can it only be, you can only bring the things back you haven't had
That's
to
right.
try out to make sure they work.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
But isn't it? I think clothes and stuff would be okay. But I just think things like underwear might be.
So it's because of the intimacy.
It's because it's a hygiene issue. That's right. But
I'm
saying they could wash that fifth pair and then put it back. All right. It's time for I've Been Thinking. Leonie Freeman, IBT, take it away.
Thanks. Well, I've been thinking there was an article in the Herald this week about the number of vacant shops in Queen Street, and the writer had counted 38. And one of the solutions he proposed was to fine the landlords for having vacant shops. And I thought, because I've had lots of reaction to this article, that it was quite disappointing to see this as it is, you know, it's been something outside of people's control. And it really highlights a lack of understanding of how business, particularly retailers, work. And if you look at Queen
Simon
Street...
Simon Wilson says landlords are sitting on their hands in Queen Street, not being proactive enough.
Yeah. But if you look at what's happened, you know, there's been... This is pretty typical for urban regeneration, and there's been areas of development. So you've seen Britomart, you've seen Wynyard Quarter, and then more recently Commercial Bay. And so some of the retailers then move into this new space, which they did. And then typically what would happen is others would come in and backfill the empty premises. But then COVID hit, and so we've had 2 years of really hard times for retailers. And so it's pretty hard. If you imagine if you were a retailer, would you want to open a shop in the last couple of years? So I think the thing is that it's about thinking what people can do.
Right.
And if people come back to the city, if you work in town, come back to the office, if you come and use the cafes or restaurants or support the hospitality or cinemas or art galleries and things like that, then people getting back into the city, then it will give retailers confidence to say, let's open some more shops in Queen Street.
Michael Moynihan, I've Been Thinking.
So tomorrow I'm going to an event at Eden Park, which is an e-waste drop-off day. It's part of a community outreach program that a business called Computer Recycling, which my son owns, does with the city. And effectively, it sets itself up on a Saturday and gives the public an opportunity to bring in their end-of-life e-waste. Anything from computers, and in fact, it includes things like, you know, small appliances and stuff. But the reality with all of this stuff is most of it ends up in landfill. And the business's ambition is to try and recycle about 300 tons across these community e-waste days. So divert that from landfill. And tomorrow they're going to try and get 20 ton off it, off the Auckland public.
Very good. Michael Moynihan.
So go along.
Yeah, go along. All right, tomorrow, Michael Moynihan, Leonie Freeman with us. Stay with us. The panel, Friday's panel, Power Bill of Friday, 4 to 5, right here.